Amen. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. We praise you, Father, for getting the deep state taken care of. We praise you, Lord, for purging our government here and governments around the world from the evil empire of the deep state. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for relief in South Africa. We thank you, Lord, for relief in America. Thank you, Lord, for relief in Canada. Thank you, Lord, for relief in Mexico, all the countries in the world. And we praise you for it, Father. And we thank you for those two new states you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I had my mind elsewhere, Pat. Okay. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Nick, go ahead, brother.
My sister's on her way home from Hawaii. So.
Oh, my goodness. Why would she want to come home to that cold area? Well, Lord, we thank you for getting her home safe. We praise you, Father, that your hand of protection is all around her. In Jesus' name, that she's going to come home and be safe, and she's going to have tales to tell. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Anything else, Nick? Is that it?
We got to be at the airport by 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand all that, but something about 10 o'clock tonight. Are you going to?
Yeah, we got to be down at the airport.
Oh, okay. What time you got to leave?
We got to be down there by 10 o'clock, so.
Oh, okay. So how long does it take you to get there? A couple
it's
hours?
An hour.
Okay. All right. So y'all be leaving here shortly, won't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you got snow on the ground?
Oh, yeah.
You know what it was here, Nick, today?
What?
Up in the 70s.
Aww.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was nice here. Really nice. Eat your heart
not
out.
Not here. Not here.
Okay. All right. Well, give your sister a hug when she comes home. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah. Yeah, Teresa, go ahead. You're muted, Teresa. There you go. No, not yet. There you got it.
Okay, so I guess I'll lift Terry up again. That I don't trust him traveling in a plane. You know, my sister works in spirit, so she knows what goes on with those planes, you know, the construction of those planes, that's what she works in. And so I really would like Heavenly Father's angels to protect the plane and to protect Terry while he's in the plane. That uh-huh. all his, you know, okay, so I'll give that good report about him that not only does Panasonic want to hire him, they want to hire him at levels higher than what they mentioned in the first place. And and they want to take him to another state to do some additional training for him, have him go through some additional training. And so I would just, you know, like all his needs to be met, that the trip is safe. That he's perfectly safe going to, perfectly safe coming back. That, you know, that when he gets the job and starts working, that his housing needs are met. And so I guess, and that, you know, that whatever, you know, when he was little, you know, I asked, when my kids were little, I asked God, okay, God, what are their gifts that we can get him, you know, going in that direction. Well, for Terry, God said, Psalm 72, and also that he would have understanding in all the different forms of energy. And so, and this is his, he ended up going in that field, and we didn't even push him there. That's just where he ended up going. And so, you know, that as he goes through this training, that God just opens up his understanding, you know, from his Holy Spirit.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just believe with Teresa, everything that she has said is going to happen with Terry. And we thank you, Father, he's going to feel comfortable in that position, and he will be a great, wonderful success for this company for what little time he's going to be there. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that when he flies, I don't care what airline it is, you're going to be with him. The angel's going to be with him. Ain't nothing going to happen. He's going to go there protected and come back protected. And we praise you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, we take any kind of anxiety or fear away from Teresa about it, because you've got him in your hands, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
All right. All right, Missy.
I spoke to my next door neighbor earlier today, and her husband is in the hospital, and she's sick, and he has all kinds of respiratory stuff. I'm not even going to name them. Mila and Petto, and I know I've lifted them up for prayer before, and they're Serbian Orthodox, and they're not born again, but they're really religious, and my heart goes out to them. It's just one thing after another, sickness, illness, whatever it may be, physical. And they're just so under the curse. And, you know, I've spoke to them before, you know, about, you know, Jesus, didn't just die to forgive us of our sins, you know, to bear the curse to them, whatever, so on and so forth. But anyway, Father, I just praise you and thank you that all this is not going to be for naught. That, Lord, you're going to get their attention, Lord, and they're going to know the real gospel, Lord, that they're going to know, Lord, that salvation covers every area of their life, Lord. And I just speak health and healing to both of them, Lord. Give them a revelation, Lord, that you still heal and that you don't use doctors, Lord. And but that just give them the faith to believe you for their healing, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for granting them repentance and belief in you unto salvation, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. And I just send the angels to minister to them, to speak, give the true word of God to them, and to let them, give them favor with God, to read their Bible and to just know what the real truth is, and realize, Lord, that it's still all true. And I just thank you for saving them and bringing them into the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We speak to the Lord of the harvest and ask him to send someone there that they would listen to and explain what born again is. And we praise you for that, Father. We break the power of Satan off of them that has hindered their walk with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father, that they will be wide open for the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we just cast down all doctrines, demons, and religious spirits in the name of Jesus. And idolatry with their religion. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for setting them free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Okay, Benjamin. go, Brodus.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, bud.
I just want to bring up Karen. She kind of, well, she didn't twist her back, but she hurt her back. She's picking up all those babies, and they're chunky. So she kind of hurt her back the other day, so I want to raise her up. I want to raise her up to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for dealing with all this at the cross. Lord, Father God, I want to add my faith on with everybody here that she's healed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And she's going to walk knowing that she's healed and that she understands that she doesn't need to walk by sight or by feeling, but she knows that she's healed in Jesus' mighty name. I pray that you just awaken her, awaken the spirit of faith, Father, and you get this mighty revelation that she doesn't need to worry about any pain or any sort of injury in her back. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We all agree with Benjamin that Karen is healed in Jesus' name and protected from picking up those chunky babies in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Okay, Nick. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'm going to have to head out because I got to start heading down that way.
Okay, all right. Y'all be. Just know that the angels are with you, brother.
Yep.
All right.
Bye, Nick.
Bye.
See you, bud. See you, Nick.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, Nick. He's been with us a while. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Pat. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just wanted to join in for Missy's friends. And Father, we just thank you for the healing that you've provided us in Jesus. The stripes of Jesus, we claim that for Missy's friends right now. We bind those infirmities on her, on any of the family as well. We bind those infirmities, command them to leave them right now in the name of Jesus, and let healing push out the infirmity there. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We also pray the same for Karen, I believe. Father, we thank you for strengthening her. We command that back to be healed in Jesus' name. By the stripes of Jesus, we have been healed, and we claim that for Karen right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing all of that in Jesus' name. All right, Judy.
Everybody, I'd like y'all to agree with me for rain. Heavenly Father, I thank you that rain was in the forecast this week, and now they've taken it out. I know you control the weather, not man. I thank you, Lord, that that storm front that's out here in the Pacific is going to reach Southern California, so that we get a piece of that too, Lord, and send some rain down here in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and bringing that latter rain among me as well. We know that's coming. Thank you, Father. And also just lift up Brother Michael, Lord, and I command the angels to go clear out that heavy traffic in his internet. So he has a strong internet bandwidth tonight, and he's not going to have any issues with any delays or interference with his communication with us and us with him. And I pray that for everybody, if everyone has a really good internet connection tonight. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Glory be to God. I thank you, Lord, for sending the angels. I'm going to send the angels out there to just give me my own internet in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. And I won't have this problem. I have to wait until 11:30 at night to get everything up. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Thank you, Julie. All right, Pat.
Father, we agree with Julie related to this rain. We just ask you that, if there's any lingering fires or continuing fires, that you put them out and send relief to that area of the country. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Julie, have you heard anything about, I know Trump released, had the water from the Northwest released down into California? Has that made any kind of a difference, or, you know?
I don't know how much or what that affected me with or not. Most of it was in the Los Angeles area where I'm at. We don't have any water issues, but we haven't had any fires like they've had either. We had a fire that broke out quite a few miles from me. It was down near the border in Mexico, and that took a few days to get it contained. But I didn't follow. That wasn't a big news item anywhere that I could tell. I don't know that it was DEW or if it was arson or what, but there's nothing out there is where it was at. It was just a lot of desert and national forest area. Thing down by near the Mexican border. But I know that somebody from that district was down, was meeting with Trump when he was in Los Angeles. So, yeah, that was more for the areas that I think were, like the farmland area up that way is where they were cutting the water off in Los Angeles and all that, you know, that was all about. So it, just believing in all that straightened out. But the storm, it looks like Los Angeles area is supposed to be getting rain with this storm, but it doesn't look like it's coming down. I'm further south than that. So.
Are the fires still burning in L.A.?
I have not looked, to be honest. I haven't looked. Last time I knew, they were mostly contained and put out. But after we got that rain, I know that the Los Angeles area got more rain than we did down here. So I know that helped put out a lot of those fires, which were still burning up there. But to be honest, I haven't looked at CAL FIRE. I haven't looked at any of those reports to see the containment. The last time I knew it was like mostly contained, if not 100% contained.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for the report.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? I like what Anna said about Karen. Karen's babies is a workout. Well, she ought to know. She's been carrying one for about the last 10 or 12 years. About 10 years. Bless her heart. But I love it. All right, Andrew.
I'd just like to pray that the Lord would keep my teeth and the pain would go away. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. No, it's not. In Jesus' name. You get off of my internet. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? If not, we're going to speak to the mountain. All right, let's see what I got here. Y'all ready for a little praise and worship? If I could figure out how to do this. Do-do-do-do-do. Huh, is it doing anything?
Why would I worry when giants come calling my name? My God is so much bigger than troubles I face. Why would I hunger for power, riches, or fame? Oh, 'cause my God is so much better than all of these things. So I won't be shamed. Cause they know the battle is done. My God is stronger, the victory's already won. Yeah, he died for my ransom and rose up on the third day.
I just got a deal in here. from Joe. He wants us to pray for this lady called Melissa Ray. And the doctors recently said she was diagnosed with temporomandibular disorder. This is where the two joints that connect the lower jaw to her skull are always giving off a lot of pain. So she's got pain in her jaw and also has major headaches too. They want to prescribe her muscle relaxers, inflammatories, and antidepressants for this. So deliverance of pharmakia is needed too. She also recently lost her job at a restaurant and has been without work for about a week or so now. So a new job to provide for her and her son is important too. And I agree with all your prayers in Jesus' name, and thank the Lord for answering them. Well, Lord, we lift up Melissa Wright, and we command this temporomandibular disorder to be gone from her jaw right now in Jesus' name. I command this spirit to leave her and take all the symptoms with it in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father. I don't know if she's saved, Lord. I didn't make any difference, but we command that jaw to stop the pain, and we command that jaw to be healed in Jesus' name. And Father, if she's not saved, I thank you, Father, for bringing salvation to her and grant repentance to her and bring her in, Lord, in a mighty way. And I praise you for it. Father, if she is just a nominal Christian, we ask, Father, that you make this a heart decision for her to come closer to you, Father, and we thank you for it. And we come against, we break the power of pharmakia off her in the name of Jesus, that all of those things that they're prescribing for her, Lord, would not affect her in a negative way in Jesus' name. We bless everything that she's taken in Jesus' name, and we count her as healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I thank you for doing that for, what's her name? Melissa Ray, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for her. All right. Anybody else? That was Joe DeBrowsey that texted about that. Okay, did everybody get the notice about tonight's study on chapter 4 of the Real Good News? Go ahead, Pat.
Father, I just wanted to agree with Michael's prayer for Melissa, and we thank you for her healing. Also wanted to pray for Andrew's teeth. We bind that, we join with Andrew right now. We bind that spirit, that opposition of taking out or trying to destroy Andrew's teeth in the name of Jesus. We command them to be healed right now by the stripes of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that by your stripes, Andrew's teeth are healed. And we praise you for it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord, for DNA restoration for everybody that's listening that believes in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I got to tell you this. This came across here. It says from Benny Johnson. It said, "Try not to cringe. Challenge." Chuck Schumer just attempted to start a "We Will Win" chant and utterly failed. Y'all know who that is, don't you? He's a politician. He's a loudmouth. But anyways, Lord, we thank you for getting rid of all the deep state people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your protection upon President Trump and his family. and all of his cabinet in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Pat.
I had a kind of a question. It may, in fact, even be covered in this chapter that we're about to discuss or go into, but some of the things that I have been reading and kind of studying and pondering, looking at the scriptures, et cetera, related to healing. One of the questions that came to me is, can you be in the midst of suffering for a malady or something that you haven't received healing on yet or hasn't manifested? That you're believing God for. Can you pray and command healing for others while you are in that state? In other words, can you pray for others to be healed while you're in the process of waiting or you know, understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course you can. I know of a number of people that do that and are very successful at it. I can tell you this, that I'm believing for stuff. And I see people getting healed or delivered, you know, weekly, daily sometimes, depending on the amount that I get. David and I both. David has some things that he's waiting on the Lord to heal him of. We pray for people all the time, and they get healed. Lord, it's your faith. We're still believing for our faith, for our healing, like you're believing for yours. Absolutely. That doesn't affect how you pray for someone else. In my opinion, it hadn't me, hadn't David.
In my, that was kind of one of those things that I posed to the Lord today, well, a few days ago. And when it kind of plopped in my mind here a second ago, actually, when we were, when Andrew was praying and trusting the Lord for his teeth, I thought of Job's situation. And the end of his trial, so to speak, and I really literally just turned over to read the chapter in chapter 42. And basically that is when, I guess you might say that's when the trial that the Lord had put Job through was over. And he had him pray for his, he actually went to Eliphaz and, you know, the three or four people. I have to read the chapter again just to get straight, but paraphrasing it, the Lord rebuked those, people and told them, to go to Job and have Job pray for them. And it wasn't, I don't know how much longer after that, Job was restored. He was healed. He was, through his trial and God healed him and restored his family, his wealth, etc. And I don't know if that's a type or a picture or whatever, but it kind of answered, you know, the question that I had, and that is, can you be, you know, waiting for healing in your own life and pray and command healing for others in theirs? And I agree with Michael. I think it is absolutely true.
one of the things that's been kind of opening my eyes up to this whole process is that Jesus taught his disciples to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, etc. And he gave them authority to do so, authority over all the demonic forces, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. And this was given to the disciples, and he trained the disciples before the promise of the Holy Spirit was given. And I know that I still have a lack of clarity, I guess you might say, related to the baptism of the Spirit, the receiving of the Spirit, in that whole process, because number one, there was the Gospels and the Book of Acts was in many ways a transition period from an old covenant relationship that God had with his people into a new covenant relationship. So some of the things can be taken as a type for our life, but with the reminder that there were things that were transitioning. I can't explain the specifics or anything like that. All I know is generally there was a transition from one covenant relationship to a new covenant relationship. And I think generally speaking, it was a relationship of God with us to transitioning over to a relationship of God in us. And so what that has to do with the receiving of the Holy Spirit and that whole process, I know that in Acts 1:8, I think it was Acts 1:8, or maybe it's 2:4, whatever. I think it was Acts 1:8 when he said, you know, tarry in Jerusalem and ye shall receive power from the Holy Spirit. From, you know, the pouring out, the giving of the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power. And, you know, I don't think it was meant that you shall receive, I will think this out loud, that there was not is there a difference between receiving God's Holy Spirit and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit? And is that what happened? I know what happened in Acts 1:8 or Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit was poured out. I believe that was the fulfillment and the transition point of from the old into the new covenant relationship of God in us as opposed to God with us. But so I was just kind of spitballing here. I don't even know if I have a question as much as I know that I've been, you know,
studying the application of this whole thing happening and trying to relate it to our responsibility to minister healing and our responsibility to minister deliverance and to go out into all the world and make disciples, etc., or to disciple. So, and the connection of that commandment to go was given in that transition when those people were still basically in the old covenant relationship or with, you know, in that transition period, they were still basically in the old covenant relationship transitioning into the new. So I don't know if I'm just rattling on here or what, but these are some of the questions that I've been seeking the Lord on and trying to bring clarity to. One of which was, I'm kind of recognizing that it is our responsibility, or shall I say, my responsibility to minister healing, to minister deliverance in whatever form that takes. But it is, and to take that responsibility as a, as an ambassador of Christ, as opposed to a, I'm not saying a follower, but more of a participant in functioning for God, as opposed to continually questioning Him as to what I should do next type thing. So I don't know if it's learning to, to walk in His authority. And I will have to say that it is, on my part, I feel it is a bit uncomfortable, you know, learning these things and trying to walk in that authority or that responsibility. And I know that even as I, learn things and stumble through things or whatever, I feel very out of my league, I guess you might say, by taking some of these commandments that the Lord has given us. And functioning in them. One of the things that I have been pondering and reading, and that is just the thought that nowhere in the scripture, in the new covenant, did the disciples actually pray and ask God to heal. I may be wrong there, but because this is a statement that was made, and I really haven't gone through and studied it, but it was said that nowhere in the New Covenant or the New Testament writings does it show the disciples or the apostles, asking God to heal such and such or a person. But in every case, healing was commanded.
Yeah.
And I, you know, Michael would know more about this than I, as I am, you know, more or less reading and studying about this myself. But, you know, the example of Peter, I think Peter and James, as they went to the temple and the blind man, or it was the lame man, was sitting at the gate, and Peter said, you know, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give unto thee, stand up and walk. And he reached down and grabbed him and lifted him up, and he walked. He didn't pray and ask God to heal him. He exercised the authority that he had been given by Jesus when Jesus was with them in the flesh in that old covenant transition time. So, you know, when Jesus gave those commandments to the apostles, go ye into all the world, none of them had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. None of them had received the Holy Spirit. They were given that command. They were given that authority to proceed and the job to do before the Holy Spirit was given. And when the Holy Spirit was given, they received the power in order to accomplish that. So I don't know.
Okay. You know, let me say a little bit
about here.
Let me say a little bit about what you're talking about. And the reason that we don't pray for healing and command healing is because Jesus already told us that he's taken care of that. That's taken care of 2,000 years ago. Isaiah 53 and also 1 Peter 2:24 gives us those reasons, because he took all of that stuff on him. Every disease, every sickness was put on Jesus. And we don't have to put up with it. As far as the power from the Holy Spirit, you said it right there in Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. So when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's the almighty power of God imparted into you. Anyone who gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, that's when Luke chapter 10 verse 19 comes into play. He's given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And do we trust the Lord when he says in Mark 11 and 23 and 24 that when you pray and you believe what you pray, you're going to receive it? And I just paraphrased it. You have to believe that you have received it in order to get it. And when he told the centurion and when he told the other ladies, he told them, he said, be it done according to your faith. So that's a lot of things there, but all we do is go out there and ask people. Here's what I do sometimes, Pat. I just go out there and say, listen, the Lord told me to come over here and pray for you. Would you allow me to pray for your healing? Because he uses his people to heal other people, to bring them into the kingdom, or something like that, something to get something started with him. And they'll either tell you yes or no, and don't be taken aback when they say no, because sometimes you run across them, you know. But most of the time they'll say yes, please, pray for me. And you can tell them, well, here's what the word says in Mark 11:23, and here's what it says in 1 Peter 2:24. And you can quote those to them and say, because now when I pray, I'm not going to pray, I'm going to command this sickness to leave you, and it's going to go. And all you have to do from that point on is to praise God and thank him for it, because it's done. Not you, but you tell the person that. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you. Let me tell you a little secret. Pat, it's not a secret, but it's a secret. First time you start out, God has a lot of grace on you, and he wants to see you succeed as a disciple of his. He's gonna heal people and deliver people regardless of what you say. That's what happened to me when I first started. You know, I just go out there and start commanding, and God would heal him. God would heal him. I mean, just everybody that I prayed for, God would heal him, because he wanted me to understand that he's, for me to trust what his word says. And then that's when all the time you want to keep that relationship with the Lord real close to you also. Because that's what, that's where your power increases as well, is to get rid of self. And when you get rid of self, that power increases, and you can just, you'll start believing God for everything. I mean, you'll start seeing things that you didn't think were possible because of it. But that's how you start. You just go out there and start. You can make mistakes, but God's big enough to look over those mistakes and make it happen anyway. I guarantee you that's what happens. Everybody that I've ever been with or talked with about it, they first go out, they're scared and all of that, you know, they're a little bit anxious about it, but they go ahead and do it. And once they do it, they'll come back and say, man, you heard what happened. You know what happened? I prayed for this lady in a wheelchair and she got up out of that wheelchair. Glory to God. And I said, you just understand that God is going to back up his word. If you just walk out there and start doing it, he will back you up. You can't make a big enough mistake to where he can't look over it and fix it. Guaranteed. I've seen miracles that I never thought possible back when I first started. And I was just as green as a gourd, man, I'm telling you. But yeah, you just command it. You don't ever pray for healing. Pray that, Lord, if it be your will, you know. Well, it's already, good gracious, he went to the cross. He got his back peeled off. And he took on all of that diseases. He took on when the Lord, his Father put all of that on him for us to go out there and help the people as a disciple of his. And that's what a disciple is. A disciple is one who looks like, talks like, acts like Jesus. Just look at that mirror before you go out the house. Say, look at that. I'm Jesus. I'm going out here. Me and Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come go with me, please. And just go out there and start doing it. Walk up to somebody that's having trouble getting to the door of the grocery store. And just put your hand, can I help you? You know, and while you're helping them, sit there and pray for them. I command this sickness off of them in the name of Jesus. You can do it out loud. Command that sickness to get off. I command that back to be straightened up in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And then you tell them when you get up to the door, now I want you to straighten up and walk like Jesus told you to. And a lot of times they'll just try to do it. And they'll do it. And they'll say, where's the pain? Jesus took it. Now go and sin no more. We're going to have big opportunities here in just a little bit, because of the great shaking that's coming. If you'll do it now, I guarantee you, he'll honor you when the time comes. The power of God, you have the creating power of God in you right now. You have the most power of any thing on earth or in the universe behind you. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. He raised Jesus from the dead and put him up to at the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. Everybody, remember that story, Pat, about David was talking about the guy that got thrown through the plate glass window, plate glass door from the demoniac. And some kid went out there and prayed for him. Some young Christian went out there and prayed the demons off of him. I'm telling you, it's an awesome time. Yeah, did you have a question?
It was just, that was one of those little nuggets that I was pondering over here a few weeks ago, and that is, it was some sort of a disconnect, you know, like in my thinking. I'm not quite sure what it was, but it's like one of those things that it just dawned on me that God has given us His Holy Spirit, which is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead after 3 days. It's the very same, only one, same Holy Spirit within us, and He's put Him within us. And the point being, He only needs to be released from us. And we've been given the opportunity to participate in releasing Him from us. And, you know, David has taught me, you know, things, many things about, you know, speaking forth His word in agreement and various things like that. And I believe one of those things is learning to exercise His authority. As an ambassador, simply giving Him release to work, heal, release whatever in the lives of those that we meet or have come to touch. And it's kind of that same, you know, example of all the power of the nuclear power plant, down the street is available to me by simply reaching over that light switch and flipping it on. And if that light switch, for whatever reason, was connected to 500, you know, 1,000 lights in this whole neighborhood, and all I had to do was flip that, it would still be the same power, the same motivation, the same ability as flipping one switch, and whatever the need out there at the end of that power, whatever the need is, the power is there to take care of it. But it has to be released. The switch has to be opened, you know, or closed, however you say it. But, and that all has to do with us as individuals and learning to cooperate with God and listen to Him and learn how to release, you know, flip that switch and release His word, his truth, and represent him the way he deserves to be represented. So, anyway, I'm still learning.
Okay, well, that's the way to do it. The way to learn is to do it more than anything. It's a lot of fun. I tell you, when it's a lot of fun is when you have a few people there that are in need, and you go to someone that is a dramatic healing, and people get healed by just watching somebody else get healed. They see that God will heal, and once they see that God will heal, they just receive it according to your faith. Remember that? According to your faith, be it done unto you. That happened to me in a church one time. Remember I told you about the two ladies that came into church, both of them was on walkers. They come shuffling in there, and one sat down on the front row, and the other one sat down on the second row. I didn't understand that. I don't know how women work, but that's the way it works. Anyway, right, I had one sat on the front row, and the other one sat on the second row, way across the room from her. So anyway, the lady in the front, I asked her, I said, "What's wrong, huh?" She told me what it was. I don't remember when, how long it was. And I said, "The Lord told me to lift up her legs." And I lifted up her legs, and one of them was about 3 or 4 inches longer than the other one, or shorter than the other one. And I just commanded it to come out. Then I told her, I said, "Now get up in the name of Jesus, cause you're healed." And she got up, and she hollered. Off she took. And when she went around the corner, around the sanctuary where her friend was, a friend just got up and joined in with her. She was healed too. Praise God. So that was awesome. But yeah, people see that and they have a great amount of faith. I did the same thing in another church. A lady got healed of her back. She come waddling up there and her back, and she got healed. And we hadn't even had a service yet. I told the preacher he wanted me to pray, so I prayed. And a lady come up, asked if I wouldn't pray for her, and I prayed for her, and God healed her back. And I tell you, we didn't have nothing else but just praying for about 30 or 40 minutes of other people. Everybody in there got healed. And that was the end of the service. So we just sat down and had pot blessings. Glory to God. It was good. That's what happens when you show the power of God to people. Now, they understand that when you get somebody healed, when God heals somebody under your discipleship or your ministry, you teach them as you go. You know, this is according to your faith. This is that. This is whatever. Whatever comes to your mind, whatever the Holy Spirit gives you. And you teach them as you go. Then they can go on out. Now you take this and go sow this seed to somebody else. And then you'll have a perpetual discipleship. Like God should have, like we should have been done from day one, you know. But anyway, yeah, Debbie.
Okay, I just have an example of that. My grandson, Tyler, he's joined this some teams, they go other states and Chicago, other cities, and just witness and lay hands on people. But when he first started it, he was so eager to do it, but he said, I'm just going to watch. So for the first week, he just watched people. He watched things going on. And you mentioned that about just being observant and watching. And that's what he did. And so he's like, 'cause I want to go through the same thing. And so, he does it. Now he just goes out. He's out and going about and laying hands on people, and they're being healed. He's talking about how he hears their bones cracking when their legs are healed, and it's just pretty amazing. But he's wanted to learn it. He wanted to not learn it, but he wanted to observe, you know.
That's the way you do it. You know, you see when somebody gets healed, it's not them praying. They have commanded. And they say, "Oh, okay, that's how you do it. You don't just sit there and pray to God, you know, 'Lord, if it be your will, glory to God, you're going to heal this person. Lord, come down and heal this person.' He's already healed them. So we don't have to, We don't have to pray to God. We just command that demon to leave him. That's all you do. Just command him to leave in the name of Jesus. And they got to go.
He does. He asks them if they want to be healed. They'll say yes. So they tell them, okay, then he tells them to be healed.
Yep. So. That's right. Be healed and be whole in the name of, you don't have to go into a big dialogue. You're right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Pat, go ahead, brother.
No, I was just going to say, a few weeks ago, I was praying for, I know that, you know, I feel like myself that I'm in a bit of a, I don't know, stagnant position or whatever you would say, dry. Some of these things I'm seeing and understanding, and I think exactly, you know, what you're saying, Michael, is, you know, understanding a lot of these things comes after the process of just doing.
Yep.
So there's that, but there's another aspect it seems like, and that is, you know, there's a sense of freedom in it. It may, even though we haven't got to it, it may be this chapter on rest that we're probably going to get into here later tonight. But the Lord gave a promise and told those Jews, I think it's in John 8, maybe chapter 8 or something, he said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And it came to me, you know, one morning as I was taking a shower, and it was just that question: do you feel free? You know, do you feel free? Is there still a battle? Is there, you know, do you feel free? And so I asked the Lord, because I have to admit, no, there's in maybe indecision, passivity, not knowing quite what to do, not being confident in what to do, or et cetera, whatever it would be. There's still a lack of confidence, I guess you might say, or stability, or whatever it would be. And to the point where, no, I do not feel free. I do not feel released to function in that way, to function in that authority that I've been given. Why is that? I don't know. But I'm asking the Lord to, you know, as I continue on in his word and learn and listen and ask, and I'm asking him to guide me into the truth that will set me free in those areas where I need to be free. And it's a promise. He's given us his word, and he's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. So I'm absolutely confident and sure that he will and is in the process right now of doing that it within me. And I'm trusting it for the same for all of my brothers and sisters here that I'm seeing on the Zoom. Because I think there's, I believe there's a, you know, there is the power of the Holy Spirit that needs to be released in us. I say this for myself, needs to be released in me. And I don't know if there's a hesitancy or there's something there, or a freeing that needs to take place within me to release all of the Lord within me. So, I know that has to take place in me in whatever form, and that's, you know, my particular prayer request for myself and my prayer for each and every one of you here as well, that God would release us by His ability and His filling of His Holy Spirit to walk in that total released state with Him. So, period. I guess that's all I have to say.
Okay, if you need a release, here it is, Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. These signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt you. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I don't say that with any animosity, Pat. That is what was told to me when I basically brought up the same thing many, many, many years ago. Well, I just don't feel like I'm led. He said, Curry said this. He said, let me give you one. Here's one right here. This will release you right here. So, I had to go. The problem is our flesh. And I tell you, that's what it was with me. That was my flesh speaking. And all I had to do was overcome the anxiety and the fear of rejection or whatever, you know, that was on me at the time. But boy, once I saw the very first, I'll tell you this, Pat, the very first person, I was in one of Curry's meetings, and he gave us a break for lunch, and I went out by myself, and I found a lady that was raking leaves, but she was struggling. And first person that I ever prayed for. And I said, hi, what you doing? And she's doing one of these now. You know, this is up north. Anyway, I said, I see you're having some problems there. Can I pray for you? She said, oh, would you? And I said, yes, I would. And God's going to heal you too. And so I prayed for her, and God healed her right there. She had a crutch and a rake.
Wow.
A crutch and a rake. And God healed her. Boy, I went back. I was pumped. What you talking about? but I knew from that point on that I was going to be doing that, because that really upped my faith 1,000%. And that's what God does. He'll when you first start out, He'll heal everybody you pray for. He will. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Amen.
I just wanted to add to what you're saying, because it's just encouraging me. And I was just thinking about the times when I was reading the Real Good News. I read, you know, a lot of David's testimonies and Sovereign God. And I was listening to audios about casting demons out. I'm like, you know, I grew up not knowing about a lot of this stuff, like I think most of us. And just like, oh, but I knew these things were real. You know, I'd already had like physical experience, we'll just say, with the unseen, and I knew that there were demons. I just knew it, and just God bringing back to my remembrance this one guy that was in the church with me, and I didn't really know him all that well, but he even said that he goes, yeah, every time I get sick, I just rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and I didn't know really what that was, but he's like, yeah, I don't get sick, they have to go, you know. Well, I ate something that was a bad piece of meat, and I got sick. And then when I was eating it, it's like, that doesn't taste exactly right, but I ate it anyway, just thinking, like, it's fine. Well, I started feeling sick. And I remember what this guy said. I started rebuking this nausea and like I was going to get sick. And I kept rebuking it, but I had doubt and I kept going back and forth and I kept rebuking it, but you know, it won out and I got sick and then I felt better. But you know, it was just a learning thing for me. And then I would read, you know, study everything. I started reading about demons and casting them out and our authority and you know, all the stuff I could find on the website about, you know, the healings and what we're supposed to do. And I said, I just kept reading that stuff and listening to those audios. And, you know, and the more you hear the testimonies of other people and stuff that, you know, it's like, okay, Lord, I want to do this. I just told him, it's like, I want to do this. Your word says you can, you know, that I can. And, you know, I would just ask the Lord, it's like, you know, well, how do I do this? It might be praying for myself. And, you know, there were times where, you know, brothers and sisters, and we were, you know, in the fellowship call or, you know, we pray for each other and seeing things manifest and seeing and listening and seeing how other people did it, you know, and like we do, you know, we learn from other people. And so it's like, oh, I'm going to go do this. I want to do this, Lord. You know, so you every now and then you'd bring me somebody, you know, and I would go out and I'd pray for somebody. You know, I'd see an obvious thing, you know, one of the first ones, like, you know, it was this woman had cut her hand. She didn't have health insurance and she had all bandaged up and stuff. And I just asked her, I didn't know her that well. I think I'd only had a couple conversations with her two or three times. She was a nice girl. And I asked her, I said, well, you know, can I pray for you for it? You know, if you don't have health insurance, you couldn't go to the doctor. And she's like, yeah. You know, so I just reached out my hand to her and I took her hand and I prayed for her. And I just, you know, spoke healing to her. I don't remember even what I said, you know. But when I was done, she said, I felt tingling. I felt something when you were praying, you know. So I'm like, wow, that's awesome, you know. It's like, I don't know that she got healed, manifested. I didn't see it. I never saw her again after that. But that was just, you know, how God was working with me. So I just think the more time, the more we build ourselves up in the faith and listening to testimonies and reading about, you know, God can't lie. If he says go do something and he says you have authority in my name to go do it, you know. And like Michael said, he's not, I made mistakes. I fumbled on my words, you know. I had doubt, you know. There was this one guy I prayed for. I was on a trolley with him and I had spoken with him before a few times and stuff, but he had pain somewhere in his arm. He was a dishwasher. And he had pain and he was going to work and stuff. And I said, well, you know, let me pray for you. And I cast the demon out of pain. I told him to go and stuff like that. And immediately I got hit in my head with all kinds of doubt. And he said, you did it wrong. You spoke wrong and all that stuff. Well, come to find out the next day when I saw him, I said, how was your day at work and all that stuff? I was thinking, I'm probably just battling the pain all day. He's like, fine. He goes, within 5 minutes, it was gone. You know, sometimes I think I get caught up and it's like, it's my responsibility. I got to do it or something like that. It's not. That guy was trying to correct me in that. It's just the burden is on the Lord in a sense. You know, he just wants to step out in faith and trust him that he's going to do it. You know, it's not, I got to do something. I got to do this. It's like, you know, if the burden is on the Lord, I can't do anything. He just uses what I know and understand and believe. Anyhow, and just step out there. Ask the Lord. I know Missy and I talked about this too. It's like, Lord, bring me somebody that I can witness to. Bring me somebody I can pray for. You know, bring me those opportunities so I can get my feet wet, you know, or whatever. And he'll do it. You know, he's not going to give you some major thing right up front. It might just be a headache or it might just be, you know, whatever. Something simple.
I made a misstatement a while ago. The first person I saw get healed was myself when I was in that bookstore. I got healed by him and I followed him around and learned from him. And then years later is when I met Curry. But James Bogle, we just did it. We just went out and prayed for people. He showed me how, just like, you know, it's the best thing to do is to get somebody with you. If you don't have anybody around there that believes like you, go out there and disciple somebody. You know, I've done that. I've done it many times, many times. When I had that, you know, it was a church, Assemblies of God church. I had Tuesday nights and Thursday nights that I was teaching healing. And I had people coming from all over Arkansas. Man, we had some times, I tell you. And they would go out as in pairs, you know. And that's the best way to do it. Get somebody that you both believe, but you're kind of antsy about going, you know. But if you got somebody with you, you know, you're going to go out there and you say, I know, bless God, if I give me somebody that needs a prayer. And I'm, you know, and God will help you get started. Going out by yourself is best. But if you need somebody to go with you, get them. Get somebody to go with you. One to send 1,000, two to send 10,000. That's right. Jesus is always, that's what I do, Pat. When I go out that door, I say, come on, Jesus, me and you. You know, that's why he likes that. God likes that. He wants to be with us all the time. He's my best pal, you know. Come on, let's go walking, Lord. We'll go walking. I'll talk to him a little bit. I might not talk to him much, but then again, I might just fill his ears full. But he loves it. That's that intimacy he likes with us. That's where the power of God is, too. Be honest with you. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Anybody else got a question? The reason I wanted to go, I want to actually go through chapter 4, 5, and 6 of the Real Good News during these times, because those are the three key chapters for faith, in my opinion. Three of the best chapters on faith. And they're all good, don't get me wrong. And don't go telling David, well, Michael's trying to cut your book down. I ain't trying to cut his book down. I'm just liking those three chapters. They're good chapters. Yeah, one's good too. It Is Finished, I think is the name of it, isn't it? Yeah. But the Real Good News is the book to be studying right now. That's, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to study the Real Good News. He told me that probably, I don't know, a couple, two or three months ago. So that's where I've been. Okay, I guess we could get a little bit started on that. I'm going to start on where he goes into the Ephesians 1:16 prayer. He said, let me read it to you. Let this be our prayer today. Ephesians 1:16. Cease not to give thanks for you. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to that working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in heavenly places. David said, wow, awesome. Father, that's our prayer, Lord, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, and that we would have our spiritual eyes enlightened to know what is the hope of your calling. In other words, Father, the all-inclusive salvation that you have given unto us make us to know this open, make us to know this, open our understanding today and make us to know this. Lord, we thank you. This prayer is our prayer today that you would give us these gifts. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, what I'm going to do, and I want y'all to, if you have a question or a comment on anything, just butt in because I can't see y'all, okay? I'm reading from my screen here. So if you got, just unmute yourself and say, hey, hang on just a minute. So we'll do it that way and see how that works. Okay. The real good news that the Lord has given to us, and that the Lord would help us understand how deep and broad and what his power is to those who believe these things. Jesus said, according to your faith, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Matthew 9:29, 8:13. David says it's important what we believe.
Whoa. And stop. Where are you at, Michael?
Just go down a little bit. Let me show you where we're at. Go down to where Matthew 9:29 and 8:13 is, according to your faith. See that?
Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry. I did skip down a little bit there. I guess I need to let you know. Okay. It's important what we believe and know because faith is based on knowledge. And you can't believe for something that you don't know about. So we have been looking at how deep and broad the river of salvation is. We were discovered that the promises of God concerning salvation and personal soul salvation and healing body salvation and then deliverance and then protection and provision, that all of these promises are past tense. Who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, by whose stripes ye were healed, past tense, 1 Peter 2:24, who delivered us out of the power of darkness, delivered is past tense, Romans 6:18 and 22, being made free from sin, you became, which is past tense, servants of righteousness. They are all past tense so that we can enter into his all-inclusive New Testament rest, Hebrews 4. The rest mentioned in Hebrews speaks of ceasing from our own works through faith in his promises. And we need to walk in that rest and in that peace so that we're not condemned of the devil, separated from the faith of God and separated from the things that God wants to do through us. And we need to walk in that rest. All provision has been made in our New Testament Sabbath rest, our sabbatismos, as it's called in Hebrew 4, which means a continual rest. It's not one day that we rest anymore. We have to cease from our works and enter into his rest through faith every day. That's his promise. The Lord is about to bring the church, and he's bringing individuals in the church through their own personal wilderness so that they can come to know how to live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrink back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. 39, but we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. You know what your soul is? It's your mind, your will, and your emotion. It's your nature. It's your character. Jesus Christ is an example of a saved soul. And walking in his steps is something that he has provided for us to do. And John said, 1 John 2:6, He that saith he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. There it is. Jeremiah 30:23. Behold, the tempest of the Lord, even his wrath, is gone forth. A sweeping tempest, it shall burst upon the head of the wicked. Verse 24. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the intents of his heart. And in the latter days you shall understand it. Well, David says, now at least we ought to understand that we're living in the latter days and that there have been other latter days, but we're living in the latter days. So this has to be a type and a shadow for us. Jeremiah did not write in chapters. He just went right on. Next verse, Jeremiah 31:1. At that time, still talking about the latter days, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel. We have spoken about the families of Israel in the end time. Romans 11 tells us about those who are grafted into the olive tree, which is called all Israel. He grafted in the church. He broke off the unbelieving Jews concerning the new kingdom, and he grafted in the Gentiles. That's the church. And then he said, and so all Israel shall be saved. Romans 11:26. So all the families of Israel is a very large group of people around the world, not just natural Israel. And they shall be my people. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord, the people that were left of the sword found favor in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest. What's the wilderness got to do with the rest? Well, we know that the wilderness is a very sparse place, very little worldly provisions there for man. In the wilderness, the Israelites had to have their salvation, provision, and protection from God. And God was bringing them to a perfect place where they could learn to trust in him. The righteous shall live by faith, Romans 1:17. If they would have. He made this as an opportunity for them. In that wilderness, God himself had to ultimately save them, because they ran out of all of their provisions from Egypt, which is a type of the world. And there was no natural provisions around them. They were basically at the mercy of God. And what we have shared already in our series here is, when you believe these past tense promises, you automatically enter into a wilderness, because there's no help from man, because the promises are past tense. God's already delivered you, healed you, provided for you, already protected you, and saved your soul. He's already done all these things. So therefore, you can't do anything to bring them to pass because he's already done them. All we have to do is just rest. In Hebrews 4, verse 3, for we who have believed do enter into that rest. What are we resting from? We're resting from our own works to bring to pass what God said has already been done. Even as he has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. If we can get that part right there, boy, you've got a lot. You've got more than 90% of the church world. God has already done everything that needs to be done in our life. All we need to do is trust him. In other words, God is saying, why shouldn't you rest? The works are already finished. The problem is that people don't walk by faith in the promises, are quickly dragged away from them. For instance, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that were disobedient, and we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Let me just say something here right quick. The number one cause of, in my humble estimation, of people not getting healed is not sin, it's not this, it's not that. It is doubt and unbelief. Well, I believe. But then we go back behind that and confess that we're sick or whatever it is that we have, you know. I've done it myself, and I caught myself, and I've had to go repent because of the worldly situation that we're in. So we need to keep our eyes on the Word of God that tells us that He has already taken care of everything that we need. Everything. And boy, am I seeing it happen every day now. Glory to God. Let me get back here. In other words, God is saying, wait a minute. We are resting from our own works to bring to pass what God said has already been done. Even as He has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the works. In other words, God's saying, why shouldn't you rest? The works are already finished. The problem is that people don't walk by faith in the promises. They're quickly dragged away from them. For instance, Hebrews 3:18, and to whom swear he that they shall not enter into his rest? But to them that were disobedient? And we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. So do you want to know where disobedience comes from? Come from unbelief. Because when you believe the promises, you're at rest, at peace. You are trusting in God to bring it to pass, and you are ceasing from your works. Well, what are your works? Your works of the flesh are disobedience. They're sin. Your works of the law, that's the Old Testament, in the New Covenant, are works of the law. In the New Covenant, they're sin. Unbelief is sin. So you believe, so you see, unbelief brings disobedience. I'll get it out here in a minute. Unbelief brings disobedience. And as a matter of fact, here in chapter 4, the word apatheia is used twice, and it could be translated either way because it means both disobedience and unbelief. Well, how could that be? Hebrews 4:11. Let us, therefore, give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience. Apatheia, which also means unbelief. Why would it be the same word? Hebrews 4:6. Seeing, therefore, it remaineth that some should enter thereinto, and they to whom the good tidings were before preached failed to enter in because of apatheia, disobedience, or unbelief. You see, but if you have unbelief, you will be disobedient. Let me just stop there just a second and ask a question. What is disobedience? Anybody know? I just said it. It's unbelief.
Yeah.
It's unbelief. Yeah. Okay. Y'all had it. It's unbelief. And so that's disobedience. And when we get into unbelief, we need to repent, go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm so sorry that I didn't believe your word. And that's what you're doing. That's what we're all doing when we don't obey the word. And if he says that he healed us 2,000 years ago on the cross, then we're healed. And that's all we need to confess. Or delivered. Or whatever. Well, we've got provisions. We've got everything that we need. We believe, listen, we've been in a struggle here, I guarantee you. But it's not a struggle on us. It's a struggle. Hello?
Of course.
Hi, Dana. Did you want to say something, Dana?
You hold on. He's asking me a question.
Yeah, well, you unmuted yourself. I figured you had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I didn't. I didn't know I muted myself. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's fine. That's fine.
I must have hit it by accident.
Oh, you having fun yet?
Oh, goodness. I just got the baby down, so. But I'm okay. Listening. I got my earbuds in, but I was scared. Okay. I had to come in and pick the thing up to give him something, and I guess I unmuted myself. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's fine. We understand. All right. God bless. Go ahead, Pat.
I was, when you were reading that section about unbelief, I was reminded of a story that Curry talks about. It's a testimony that he gives. And so this, I think it's important to connect. It is belief. It is believing in what was written. It's believing, that it is already done. It has been done. In other words, it's not believing that it has been done for the sake of believing that it has been done. It's believing that has been done because Jesus said it was done. It has been written. And Curry gave an example, which I'm not going to, speak about the whole thing or recite the whole thing, but the basic thing was, he was asked to go pray for the healing of a person that was in the hospital. He was actually in a coma, ready to die. And so he went in, in the name of Jesus, I bind this healing and command you to be healed in the name of Jesus. And he walked out and left. The people of the leadership of the church knocked on his door that night, I guess, and were sheepishly and timidly they basically told Curry that the man had died, and Curry said, "Well, I'm surprised," and the person said, well, before the person had died, they came to Curry and asked him, said, did the Lord speak to you? Did he give you some input related to this? And he said, yes. He said, well, what did the Lord say? And he said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Mark 16:18. He said, no, I meant, did the Lord speak to you, about his healing? He said, yes. He said, well, what did he say? He said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Mark 16:18. He said, I know that. We know that, but did the Lord speak to you? I mean, and did he give you a word about it? And said, yes, he did. Well, what did he say? You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he said, he continued that until the guy gave up. Because he wasn't going to get a different answer. Because Curry's point was, the Lord gave me his word. That was his word he gave me, and he doesn't need to give it to me again. He's already given to me one time and more than once in the Bible, and there it is. It's written. I don't need anything else. And God doesn't expect us to require anything else. He's already given it to us. And then I think later on that night or something, they came back, and I might be mixing up the story, but they basically said, you know, Brother Curry, the man died. And Curry said, well, I'm surprised. And then, you know, the guy finally basically left, and then Curry went out and he went praying, probably where, I'm assuming where you got the concept to go out and walk through the forest and start praying and talking to the Lord. But anyway, he said he was in the elevator and he told the Lord, this isn't going to happen. You told me to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And this man died, so I don't accept that. I mean, I'm paraphrasing this testimony, but he said, I don't accept that. The guy, you're either going to have to raise him or he's going to have to be healed in some other fashion or something else has got to happen. He has to live or I quit. And I don't know if this was some sort of I'm not taking this. This is the way I understood it was, but I'm not taking this. And the next day they came to him and said the man was, he was healed. He resurrected, he raised or whatever. And he's back healed and he's in his right mind, etc. The point being that they were, the people or the church or the common thought of the time was that the Holy Spirit will infuse some other different anointing or awareness or permission or, you know, whatever it would be in order to motivate you to give you the faith to function in this way and minister this healing. And Curry's point was, no, it was written. It is written. It's there. That's what God has told us to believe. And that's what we're believing in, that which was written. So I just thought it was a very, I'm thinking of the scripture, I think in Peter, he says that, We witnessed him from the heaven speaking to us, etc. Yet we have a more sure word of prophecy written. And I think that was, you know, that was kind of the concept that I was getting from his testimony. And that in this scripture, that I was also reminded of this scripture that when Jesus was talking to, I think he was talking to the Pharisees or something, but he made a statement. It said, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And that was kind of the, I guess, the result that I had got out of that testimony, is that you have to anchor down and trust and believe what was written and hang on and don't swerve away from that which was written. Because it is true, and it will overcome whatever adverse effects are contradicting that truth. And so, and I think that only through that process will you see the result and the power of God being revealed and displayed. So, anyway.
I think the word that that Curry was getting out was you have to be dogmatically in that they're going to get, your faith is going to get them killed. It's going to be, you're going to get healed. He was dogmatic. He was going to, bless God, I'll go out and tell everybody that you're a liar if you don't, if this person doesn't get healed. And that's how dogmatically you have to be to stand in your faith to see it happen. And don't murmur, well, I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like I'm healed. Well, that's not what the Lord says. The Lord says you're healed. Well, I don't feel like it. You don't go by feelings. You go by what the Word of God says. You know, there is fact and there is truth. We said this last week, I think. Truth is the Word of God. Fact is that you see with your senses that you don't feel good. You don't do this. You don't do this. But truth can change fact by our confessions. Yeah, Missy.
Well, I was thinking about this unbelief and disobedience. And, you know, I was thinking, okay, the Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay. There was a little thought there. Help me, Lord, hear what I was thinking again. So keeping his commandments is obedience, right? So how can you love someone if you believe they're lying to you, if they're not telling the truth? And if you think they're lying to you, you're not going to obey them. It goes with, let God be found true and every man a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. And if I believe what God's word says, you know, the way I look at it and think about it is, okay, I'm reading God's word. His word is true. It doesn't matter if I don't understand it. It's true.
Yeah.
And if I believe that it's true, well, then I can obey it. If I don't believe that it's true, then I can't obey. If I don't believe it's true, that's unbelief. That's just kind of how I look at the whole thing. And it, to me, it's like, you know what? Lord, if I don't believe your word, it's my problem. It's not your problem. And one thing that I've heard David say, I read it not too long ago because I've been in the real good news too. God's faith is, I wish I knew where that was. I forget how he described it, but basically God's faith is just what he speaks. He spoke and it was in his creation, you know? Everything that he speaks, everything that I speak creates something, you know? What I speak, I sow something and then I'm going to reap what I sowed. So there's an outcome of everything that I speak. So anyway, that's just some thoughts I had on the whole thing.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Just what Missy was saying, it's like, you know, it's believing, you know, and and the scripture was coming to my mind is, I had to look it up, but it's 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, even as he gave us commandment. So yeah, we're keeping his commandments. We believe in his name. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the reason, you know, our Redeemer. He is who he says that he is. And we have the whole Bible, you know, the whole Word of God. And like, that's what it is. It's like your faith is just believing what God says. It is written, and it's over. To me, what the Lord just keeps telling me is like the stuff that I've been going through, my trials, is to help me to overcome the mind of my flesh, overcome my emotions, overcome, you know, my sin nature, that I'm just going to walk it out. It doesn't matter. I mean, I can't fix me. I can't, you know, manifest my healing. God does it, but he's teaching me things to endure it, to endure things, to be patient. And not, it doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm still going to obey God. And I've prayed. There's been times where it's just so oppressive. Sometimes I just like, Lord, don't let me sin with my mouth. Don't let me whine or complain or speak disbelief or curse myself in any way. You know, I know better, but Lord, don't let me disobey you. Don't let me deny you. That's really what it's for. Lord, don't let me deny what your word says, because I know what your word says. I believe you and I trust you and I thank you and I love you and I praise you. All these things really are true, and it don't matter how long it takes. I know it's already done. I have to speak faith to myself, and it's, you know, but it's in my prayer time, you know, I'm just laying there sometimes just like, I believe you. I do believe you. I have to. It's overcoming. He's just showing me. It's like you're overcoming that hesitation or that doubt that, you know, that's part of our sin nature, because we've lived with this, you know, our carnal, what we see, what we feel, this natural realm, and to be walking in the spirit all the time. And just, it's just what he's doing with me, I guess, but maybe someone else can relate to that too. Maybe, but his commandments are, you know, just that. You know, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Believe, you know, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus said. And this is eternal life, that you should know thee, the only true God, and him whom thou didst send, even Jesus Christ. We have the whole Word of God. And every word of it's true, and God can't lie. You know, and just because things don't happen in the timing that we think, or how we think it should happen, or I thought I'd be over this by now kind of thing, you know, that's just, you know, thinking unbelief. You know, and I have to cast all that stuff down. I think Ben put it in the chat there, that scripture about casting down every being thought and imagination. And that's what, you know, enemy's putting in our head, or we're thinking of, because of what we feel, what we see, and it's a battle, it's warfare, and we have to be mindful all the time about it. That's just all I want to say about
that. Okay, Debbie. You need to unmute.
That's right, sorry. I clicked on lowering my hands. That was supposed to do it, yeah. But anyway, I wanted to share a little testimony that has to do with what Pat was saying about Curry Blake. You know, if you don't do this, 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 or this, then I quit, you know. Well, I had this terrible headache like a tension headache for a couple days. Today was the third day that was gone, and this in the middle of my back, up to my shoulders, my neck, and my head, you know, the temples, you know, that kind of thing, and got to pain up here, you know. And so I was laying on the couch this morning and just, I just wanted to go away, and of course I've been praying and trusting and believing. And I was talking to my daughter, and she was telling about all stuff. Well, I won't go into all that right now, but oh no.
That's the Lord.
Brandy, actually. I'm just gonna turn them off. So I won't go into all this stuff with my daughter, but So I was talking to her and I just say, well, just agree with me that I have this headache and I've got stuff to do today. I got to take a sister to go shopping. And I told about my headache. I said, so just agree with me. I told the Lord that, Lord, if you don't take this away, then I'm just going to have to take something for, because I want this to go away. And I didn't really want to do that. And I even said that. And so I was telling her, so if you disagree with me, this goes away. And I was saying a little more about how I was feeling about it. And she goes, and I said, oh, never mind, Hadass, it's gone. He just took it away right then and there. He just, this terrible pain and this headache, it just went away. It wasn't there anymore. I said, it's gone. So it's like that, what you said, Julie, about being dogmatic about you know, I don't want to be disobedient, but it's come to this, you know, so I don't know. He allowed me to not have to give him the disobedience. I didn't want to. And I was trusting that he was gonna do that because of what I said, I'll take this, you know, so anyway, it's just that it went away and it was so awesome. And then throughout the day, it was wanting to come back, starting my temples, as though something going on again. I just rebuked it and said, no, I'm not receiving this. No, it's gone. So, and it's been gone, totally gone. So just praise the Lord.
Amen. All right, Dana. Go ahead, Dana. You got to unmute yourself, huh?
Okay. I'm still learning this thing of unmuting. Okay. Okay. So faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So I think as we ground ourselves in the Word more and more and on a consistent basis, as that that will surely increase maybe our faith as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it will. Yes, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Glory to God. Okay, we're out of time, folks. I enjoyed tonight. Are y'all on board with what we're doing? You like what we're doing? Okay, good. Well, we'll continue where we left off Thursday night. Lord willing. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful book that you've given us through David. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, for teaching us what it is to have faith and to trust you in what your word says, Father God, and that we will be dogmatic in our faith and not resort to any kind of pharmakia or anything like that. We just resort to you. We're going to take the pill of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. Good night, y'all. Love you.